me say that again. When you encounter an aggravating obstacle that you can't control or change. Wow. How many times has that happened to you? Often. I gotta tell you, I borrowed this outline from Charles Stanley. You all know him, he's a good fellow. He's worshiping with Jesus today. Some time ago he passed on. What a wonderful brother. Good preacher. Good pastor. I borrowed his notes today. Take no credit for it. He's a good man, and I certainly want to recognize him as such. Many times the immediate response is frustration. And you know the good news is that us as believers don't have to stay in that condition. Even though the situation may not change, God can change our response to it, however. How we feel about it, He can change that. He can replace our annoyance about it with His peace and joy. That's what's wonderful about being a Christian. We have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Sometimes you don't have to understand what's going on in your life, but God gives you peace about it anyway. You can have that peace. You can sleep good. You know God's working. I don't understand it, but He's working, and that's all that matters. He's working. What is goals? For our times of frustration, He wants to reveal to us how loving, how kind, how gentle, and how faithful He is. Wow, that song was perfect. How faithful He is. That's the times He wants to let you know how faithful He is, and He's been very faithful to me. So faithful. Oh, I could brag on Him all day long. But we may need to make some changes to receive the contentment that He provides. We may have to make some changes. Are you willing to make them? That's the question. Are you willing to make those changes? Huh? The Apostle Paul gives us hope for overcoming frustrations. He was in a very challenging place, beyond his control to change. God had called him to preach the gospel and establish churches, but now Paul had found himself in a Roman prison, no indication that he'd ever be released. He had every reason to feel frustrated, and yet he wrote this amazing passage about the strength and peace that God gave him in those very difficult circumstances. And we read it. We opened the service with it. We all experience frustrations at times in everyday life. And the first one is lawn equipment breaks. Oh, brother, can I identify with that? Yeah. Same situation as Darren shared. I'm living in a trailer park halfway between Muncie and Hughesville. I'm on the corner. I have a corner lot. I have a little more to mow than everybody else. Underneath the trailer because you don't have nothing else to put it in. And everything stores under the trailer. So you pull the skirting off and pull the mower out. And I thought, well, look at the sky. I thought, well, it's getting dark. It's getting black. It's going to soon rain. And I have a hayfield to cut. And I got the mower out and started cranking. Oh, brother. Lord, I know you weren't proud of me that day. And don't know that everybody's watching, but the neighbor was watching. The old man behind my trailer, his name was Albert Ryder. What a nice man. He saw me just pulling and yanking. He came out. He said, "You're having a little trouble." "Yes, I am." He said, "I'll get my mower out and you can borrow it." I said, "Really?" "Yeah." "Wow." And he gave it to me to do my mowing. I didn't want to give it back to him if it worked so well. But I did. And I thanked him for the use of it. In those days, you know, ago. He was retired. He had everything, and I didn't have nothing but love. You can identify with that, can't you? The biggest thing is, don't ever forget that. Let that be stored in your remembrance. You know, there's some things you should remember. And those are things you should remember. That there was a time in your life you had hardship. And don't you ever forget it. Why? Because you need to be compassionate to others who find themselves in the same situation as you were. And it keeps you humble. The lawn breaks. The lawn equipment breaks. Hey, here's one. Baby's cry. What do you remember that time? It's your turn. No. My turn. It's your turn. Middle of the night, you just got to sleep and the baby's crying. You look at one another. No, I did it last night. It's your turn. Well, I did it twice a day. Yeah, okay. Cars break down. Hey, there's another, Kurt. You're going to be busy. How many of you ever had a car break down? At the intersection, that's always a good place. Huh? The way don't it just break down in front of Kirk's place, just coasted in the driveway, huh? You know, I almost ran out of gas one time because I was one of those guys to see how much I could do in the tank, you know, and I just, you only need to do that once in your life and you'll never do that again. You know what I mean? That's all it needs. You only just need to run out one time, and then you know what? When that thing's through a quarter of a tank, you start saying, hey, my cars are full, not half, not a quarter. But in those days, you know, I just run with fumes, just to see if I could do it. I coasted right into a gas station, and I was proud of myself that day. Well, a couple months later, I wasn't so proud of myself. I thought I could do it again. No. Frustration. We're talking about frustration. Cars break down on expressways. Always at the baddest place. But normally, I can tell you this. I've been fortunate. God's been good to me. There's times that my vehicle gave me problems, and I was able to coast off the road and to a safe place. Most of the time. But we say there are seasons of frustration, and some of them last for a long time. They can lead us to think we're just victims of our circumstances. But you see, that attitude doesn't help us to overcome that. The thing we need to remember is that God is sovereign. We'll never have that lasting peace until we come to grips with who God truly is. Isaiah 14:27 says, for the Lord of hosts has planned, and who can frustrate him? As for his stretched out hand, who can turn it back? It's a very clear statement that shows God's sovereignty over everything, including your exasperating situations. Yep, God knows about them too. Whatever you're going through is part of his plan for your life. Just remember that. All things what? Did you read it? All things do what? Work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, you don't have to be called to be a pastor. You're just called to be a believer. Christians, I told you before, should be the happiest people in the world. You can't make a mistake that God can't fix or make good come out of it. Frustration is a feeling of being hindered in what you want to accomplish by some barrier, and it comes in two different forms. Frustration number one is that it can exhaust us. And it's this type of aggravation that wears us down. I have another message I just remembered that I'm going to share. I believe it's called being burned out. Very similar to this one. Having burnout. The root of this frustration is not us. Now here's a good one. An inability to accept ourselves as God made us. Wow, aren't we having a problem with that today in our culture? Did you hear me? The inability to accept ourselves as the way that God made us. There's another place in Scripture that says the clay don't say to the potter, why did you make me thus? The potter being our creator. The clay doesn't say that, but we're saying it today, aren't we? Not happy with the way God made me, so we've got to have a sex change. Did you ever hear anything so crazy? It comes from the devil, by the way. There'll be a lot more things coming. Just be ready. It's just a start. Some people live in a constant state of frustration. Results in dissatisfaction. Or it could be so aggravating that it interferes with life. Oh, obviously, there's a lot of people been affected with frustration like that. It makes interactions with other people especially difficult. And it's a result of a dissatisfaction with ourselves. Trying to compare yourself to others, you'll come up short every time. And you'll be upset with God that God didn't make that desire to be what you wanted it to be. So that people get fed up with God because he didn't do what he wanted them to do. Then there's a reluctance to deal with past issues. If not dealt with a very difficult childhood, there's an example. A difficult childhood. Some of you have had difficult childhoods and you know how much it has affected you throughout your entire life. It affected you. Some of you are still dealing with it. Disastrous errors in judgment. Bad choices. You ever make bad choices? We all have. Or past sins. Listen to me about past sins. God has forgiven you, so should you forgive yourself. God has forgiven you. The devil will constantly remind you that God has forgiven you and you should forgive yourself. The only way out is to admit and repent of sin instead of trying to justify ungodly responses. Secondly, a frustration that excites us, really. God is the very source of this kind of frustration. When the Lord plans something, nobody can hinder him from accomplishing it. Isaiah 14:27, Isaiah the prophet spoke words when Assyria had surrounded Jerusalem and the people had no hope of survival. God frustrated the Assyrians' plans overnight. In the morning, the Israelites woke up to discover that the Assyrian soldiers were completely defeated. God just sent an angel. We only needed one angel. Thousands of Assyrians, but only one angel. God can also frustrate our plans. And he does, in order to redirect our lives as he desires. So when you get frustrated because things aren't going the way you want it, just remember, God has something else in mind for you. And it's much better than the plan that you've been working on. Amen. Much better. He's done it lots of times in my life, and now I'm just starting to keep my mouth shut. When things ain't going right, I'm just learning to keep my mouth shut because God's working on something. I don't know yet, but I've learned this. Keep your mouth shut. The more you talk, the more trouble, the deeper hole you get yourself into. Keep your mouth shut. He frustrates our plans to redirect our lives. Sometimes he puts up a barrier to hinder us. And we can't get past it. He's done that lots of times for me. And I finally realized it was him. At other times, he gives us a feeling of frustration that has no explanation. I'm frustrated, but I'm not quite sure why I'm frustrated. Sometimes we can't find the source. It's simply a sense of uneasiness. I've been there. I know what that's like. I don't know what to say. I just feel uneasy about this. Well, if you feel uneasy about it, you probably shouldn't do it. Don't do it. That's the Holy Spirit working on it. Don't do it. God's purpose in frustrating us. Two things. To draw us into a deeper relationship with Him. We're often so busy that having uninterrupted time alone with the Lord is rare. God uses an obstacle or sense of restlessness to get our attention. So we can focus on an area of our life that He wants us to address. And when this happens, we need to read His Word, seek to understand what He wants to do in our lives. His purpose is to develop in us the fullness of who He created us to be. You can be all you can be if you let God rule your heart. You can be all you can be. You can be the best of the best if you let God do it. Let Him work on your life. He knows what you're best suited for. He created you. He's creating us to be what we are. It sometimes is a purifying process that in time will conform us into His likeness. Secondly, to make us more fit for service. Most of us like to settle into a particular location or a particular church, and thank the Lord you chose this one today, a particular ministry, or maybe just a certain job. And so we get comfortable, and we often become reluctant to make a change. We talked about that. Sometimes God's got to do that. He has to redirect our thinking, our direction in life. He has to put barriers in to give us another direction because we've been going in the wrong direction. You wonder why you're frustrated. God's trying to get your attention. He wants to redirect us. And He may use this frustration to start the process. What began as frustration can quickly change to excitement as we anticipate what He will do next in our lives. Wow. That's a fact. You can be excited about what God's got next for you to do. Because you're all unique. You all have a different fingerprint. And He's all made you exclusively. You have been made exclusively for His purpose, for His plan. You're special. Nobody else can do what God has created you to do. Nobody else can do it. So pay attention. Pay attention to what God's been doing in your life. Because you're the only one that can do it. Somebody can receive a blessing because of you. But you need to be obedient to the Lord and His direction because He wants to bless somebody through you. He has somebody to bless, so pay attention. That person is waiting to receive a blessing. So you be obedient. Be obedient. God, is this what you want me to do? Yes. Okay. Then I'll try to do what you want me to do. And I know that we can anticipate excitement for what you got planned to do next in our life. First thing we need to do is acknowledge His love for you. Then you need to determine to trust Him. It means depending on and surrendering yourself to Him to do whatever He chooses in your life. He is a sovereign God with all power who knows you perfectly. And He will always guide you on the right path. Thank you, Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you, Lord, for this message. It meant so much to me. And I trust it meant as much to your people today. Thank you for letting me preach this message. You've been good to me through the years. You've been very faithful. Thank you so much. It's coming time to leave, to go to our homes, Lord. I pray this message is spoke to every heart. And now I pray for everybody to make a safe trip to their homes until we come back again and worship and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.